Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Bradford Anderson, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Thompson, and you are listening to Stardish Radio. Keep listening.
Welcome to another edition of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is Monday, August 25th, 2008. I'm your host, Joanne. As always, participate in the chat and interact with our guests by calling 347-945-5423. I cannot think of a better way to start the week off. Guests this week include Forbes March, August 27th, Kumar De Los Reyes, August 29th, and tonight marks Stardish Radio's 55th show. I'm so excited, and I just want everybody to know, if you've missed a single show, go and check out the archives. There are many, many great shows there, and please, after each and every show you listen to or download, rate it. It keeps me on the air doing what I love to do, and that is connecting you to your favorites. There are so many shows that have huge download numbers, but no ratings. Come on, people. Rate the shows. Don't forget to go and check out the website, stardishradio.com, sign up for the email alerts, and definitely sign the guest book. The guest book is the new wish list, so if there is someone you desperately want to hear on Stardish Radio, go sign the book and let me know. Anyhow, tonight's guest is just the best way to end a Monday night. He is just as handsome and talented as they come, and not to mention laugh my ass off funny. We know him best as Diego Alcazar, formerly of General Hospital. He has since moved on to bigger and better things. So let's see what those are. Please welcome Ignacio Siriccio to the show. Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Hey. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing very well.
Glad to hear it. Glad to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Oh, absolutely. Wouldn't have missed it.
Oh, wonderful. So talk to me. Now, should I call you Nacho?
Sure, sure.
I hear that's what everybody calls you.
So many nicknames. Nacho, I know my ex used to call me idiot, but that one's not one of my favorites.
Well, I would never call you that. So I'll stick to Nacho.
Yeah, so we can, Nacho's perfect.
All right, perfect. So it's a pleasure to have. Let's start with a little background on you. You were born in Argentina and then moved to Mexico when you were 11. At what age did you come to the States?
I came to the States after high school.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated high school, and I was about to actually go to college in Mexico and study industrial engineering. Till this day, I have no idea what that is. But leaving high school, it sounded important, and it sounded like I could use it to get girls.
Right.
But basically, what happened was my father got offered a transfer to New York City, and we saw it as a good way to leave. You know, we had been in Mexico for so long, 7.5 years, and I had just graduated, and me going to an American university was going to be so much better, and because there were so many more opportunities, and basically that's why we moved right after high school. And then my parents went to Connecticut.
Right.
And I applied to I went to Syracuse University, upstate New York. Beautiful, warm weather, beaches.
I'm not far from there. I'm up in Buffalo.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
I love it. Listen, I had a great time, but, you know, Syracuse is it's a special place. It's kind of like it's like Gotham City without Batman, you know? So it's got all the aspects of it and all the grim, but there's no action. So
right. Yeah, Buffalo's a little bit like that, too. I actually moved from Fort Lauderdale to Buffalo, so go figure there.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I did Mexico to Syracuse. Yeah, who knows?
So Syracuse University, and then you went to Loyola.
Yes. Then I, my parents got they moved to Los Angeles, so I transferred over to Loyola Marymount. And yeah, and that was about 5 years ago.
What did you major in Syracuse?
I majored in theater.
Mm-hmm.
I majored in theater. Okay. Yeah, so that was really fun. That was great.
When did you decide that acting was what you wanted to do?
Well, truthfully, the thing is, I my whole life up until I graduated high school, I didn't think, only because of, I don't know, I guess because of where I was raised in Argentina and how resources were very limited, and I never thought that I could pursue acting as a career. I mean, I was always a clown as a kid, and I loved entertaining my family, my parents when they came home late from work, and I honestly never thought that I could. It never crossed my mind to actually pursue that. But then when we finally moved to the U.S. and I saw how so much was available to me and how you could practically do anything in this country and be successful at it. And my dad actually was the one who sat me down and said, listen, he's like, what do you like? You know, like, what makes you happy? And I go, well, I love to make people laugh. I love entertaining. He said, why don't you go acting? And I was like, okay. So, I mean, I always wanted to do it, but my father finally gave me the final, he said, look, it's okay. You know, we're at a point right now where our social and economic status is, you know, it's pretty good. So you can take that risk and, you know, and don't do what I didn't do as a kid, which was, you know, he always wanted to be an architect, but he could never do it. He ended up doing banking because, unfortunately, you know, you needed the money, you know, you need to eat.
What you're saying is so true. It's so sad because some people have so many dreams, but unfortunately, it takes money to make money, and that includes education that goes along with it. So sometimes people do end up losing
out what
they really wanted to do.
Exactly. And to be honest, you know, the more time I spend in this country, the more I realize that opportunities are unlimited. I mean, there is a reason why everybody comes to this country, because it is the greatest country because of that, because you could do absolutely anything. I mean, everything that I wanted to do as a kid, now that I'm here, I've been able to do everything. I mean, from the smallest thing, dream, to the biggest one, and my father realized that, and he realized that he finally could give that to his children, you know? And he did, and so it's amazing.
Do you come from a big family? You have a lot of brothers and sisters?
I have a sister who's 2 years younger than me, and I have a 12-year-old brother.
Oh, okay. So that's good. You're the oldest boy.
Great.
I have a family of five, so it's hard when it's bigger. So you lucked out with the three.
I mean, these are the siblings that I know of, you know. You never know.
Can I tell you, I was, you know, when you sent me the review on Freak, I just wish it was like on video so I could watch it, because just reading about it makes me want to see it somewhere, you know. And I went on YouTube to see if there was anybody that snuck a camera in there anywhere, but I didn't find anything. But I did come across you at the improv. And I giggled my ass off the whole time. I mean, it was 3 minutes of me almost pissing my pants. It was that funny. You really are truly hysterical.
Thank you. Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
Now, is stand-up something that you're going towards next, or?
To be honest with you, I like everything. I like to do everything. I want to cover every possible thing that there is out there. And I do stand-up as a hobby. I mean, I go to the improv, try to go almost every Friday. I just like to do it. I love being in front of audiences, and I mean, you know, I wouldn't do it as a as a full-time thing because I love stage, I love acting, I love working with other actors, I love interacting with other actors. But I still, you know, I love to laugh. It, you know, I'm addicted to laughter and you know, and Freak, this show is, to me, is probably my favorite and the most amazingly written work that I've come across. I mean, look, I mean, I'm not counting Shakespeare, of course, because Shakespeare will kill me. But it's just, it's such an amazing story, and I think that anyone who's ancestors came to this country, or if they even came to this country, it's just a good, it's a great story, and it's relatable to so many people. And it's not, it is stand-up as a show, but it's, there's a lot of scenes that don't involve the audience. There's a lot of scenes that involves a bunch of characters, from the story. So it's not straight, stand-up and
right.
You know, but,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I love it. I mean, I love it. I love everything. Anything that has to do with performing, I like to do. So.
What other comedians have you worked with?
Oh, like actually done at the Improv. There's always a lot of really cool guests that show up at the Improv. Ron White, Chris Reed, Kid Play from House Party movies.
Yes.
There's so many people that show up, and the cool thing for me is I got to meet Adam Sandler, and that was very cool for me because when I moved to the U.S., I had very little time to apply to American colleges, and actually the reason why I applied to Syracuse was because I was watching the movie Big Daddy, and Adam Sandler was wearing a Syracuse sweatshirt, and I said,
really?
And my thought was, well, if Adam Sandler goes to Syracuse, then I'm going to Syracuse. So I applied without knowing anything about the school. I said, if he's going, I'm going. And I was very fortunate to get accepted. So when I ran into him like 3 months ago, I told him this story, and he thought it was pretty cool. So that was really amazing. It's amazing how everything comes back around. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love Adam Sandler. I think he is just another one. Laugh my ass off, funny. I could watch his stuff over and over. He's just really
hysterical. He's a nice person.
Well, let me ask you, when, all right, your first acting job was a movie.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Called
States of Grace.
States of Grace, right. And you have another movie, Coldplay. What's going on with that one?
Well, I did that last summer. I had a supporting role. It was cool. It's a little like a suspense kind of film that you don't know until the end who did what to whom, who's dead, who isn't, who killed whom. I mean, it's that kind of movie, and I don't know. We got screening of it, and to be honest, I don't know what the producers are doing in terms of distribution.
Right.
But again, I had a supporting part. Nothing, you know, not too many scenes. But it was just really nice people, and you know, and I like that. I like working with nice people.
Well, you've done quite a bit since you left General Hospital. Let's see, you did a lot of episodes of Ghost Whisperer and a few other things, Lincoln Heights, Rodney, House.
Yes.
Which everybody who's listening, when you go to the homepage of Stardish Radio, there's a link to Amazon.com, and that episode of House that Nacho is in is up there, so you click on that link and it'll take you to Amazon.com so you can buy that episode. So
yeah.
That would go to you.
That was an interesting episode. That was fun.
Yeah. So what do you like doing? I mean, you seem to be very well versed. Has there anything that really stuck out to you that you know?
In terms of what I like the most.
Yeah, something that you want to sink your teeth into next.
I want to have my own written sitcom. That's my next goal, to get my own sitcom. So I've been doing a lot of writing, again, doing the stand-up, and now doing Freak, just to kind of, show people what, I want to do a sitcom. I love, if I could do just theater for the rest of my life, I would be completely happy with it.
Really?
I love theater. It's my first love, and I absolutely love it. I just don't think there's nothing like performing in front of a live audience, and there's always that feeling of anything could go wrong at any moment, or it's amazing because every night is so different, and every night people maybe laugh at one thing, they don't laugh at the other. I think theater is unbelievable. So, but my next thing is I still do theater. I'm going to direct another play very soon. But my next thing is I would love to have my own sitcom.
Okay. Well, that I could see that. I can definitely see you in something like that. Let's get over to Freak, okay? I want to read for the people who are listening the little bit of a review that you sent me because I thought it was just really fantastic.
Sure.
Freak is this one-man show that tells of John Leguizamo's early life growing up in the 70s and living in his apartment so puny he wished that he did live in the projects instead. The play, co-written with David Barkatz, is simultaneously hilarious, heartbreaking, packed with stories about his love-hate relationship with his father, solo sex, girls, his macho attitudes, and coated with the grittiness of New York City in the 70s. Now, premiering on Broadway in June of 97, Freak garnered rave reviews and eventually snagged a 98 Tony Award nomination. 11 years later, Ignacio Cerriccio steps into the role playing Leguizamo with ease, debuting in a performance that would make the original proud. That has to make you feel so damn good. I mean, has John ever seen your performance?
No, he hasn't. You know, he's a busy man. it does make me feel very good because when I set out with this project and I did everything by myself because when I first caught the script like 7 years ago, I connected so much to the script and to the characters and to the story, and I said to myself, I want to do the show. I definitely want to do it, and I actually did it when I was 20 at Syracuse University. So, and now I wanted to do it again today, this time because I felt like I've grown a lot and I felt like I've learned so much acting and being in front of an audience that I thought I had matured. And I just wanted to do it again because I love it. I mean, I think, again, like I said before, it's just an incredible, incredible story. I hope that somehow Mr. Leguizamo or Mr. David Barkatz reads that review or anything because I am I've sent them a million emails saying how grateful I am to them that they allowed me the opportunity to perform this. They gave me the rights for free and like I told them, I didn't do this to make money or anything. I did it because a number of things. One, I wanted to show people what I can do, and two, I wanted to show my family that all their support over the years wasn't going to waste. And
right.
I did the show, mainly for my parents and so it was a lot bigger than just putting up any show.
Mm-hmm.
I've never worked so hard to do a show. So I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy because my family got to see it, and that's all that matters.
So now Friday was the last, yesterday. Yesterday was
Sunday.
The 24th. That was the last show, right?
Yes, it was.
So now where do you go from here? What's next?
What's next? I wrote a show that I have a meeting with in a couple of weeks with my managers and just to talk about development, and I'm writing something else, and I don't know what's next, but I'm sure that by the end of this week I'll have something planned. I always.
Oh, good.
I always,
you know what? I can't wait to find out what it is, because you are truly sorely missed. I know on General Hospital, a lot of people felt that you got a bad rap with that whole thing, with that whole text message killer storyline. So, like, after being gone for quite some time and presumed to be dead, what were your thoughts when they came to you and said, okay, I want you back, but only to make you a killer, and you're going to die anyway? So,
I said, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because many reasons. I mean, one, because I love everyone that works at General Hospital. I love Jill Phelps, Mark Teschner, Gwen Hillier, everyone that's just, they've been so nice to me, and you know, they were my family when I first came to LA, and I learned absolutely so much working on that show, and so many cast members. You know, Ted King was like a dad to me, like a dad to me the whole 2 years that I was there. You know, he taught me a lot about the business, a lot about. It's amazing because, you know, it's not just acting and it's not just being on camera. A lot of it has to do with the way you deal with people and the way, you know, you deal with producers and media and whatever. And Ted just walked me through everything. He took time to explain everything to me and the little and tricks and what to say and what not to say and how to, you know. So and to be hired back I was really honored. I mean, I felt. You know, the fact that they called me back to do this, it was a big deal because they could have asked anyone else to be, and anyone else could have been the touch killer. But the fact that they asked me, I was very, very, very happy. And I was talking to Mark Teschner, and he said, you know, they may want you back. And I said, yes, I don't, you know, I owe you all so much that I would come back and do whatever they wanted me to do. And I actually liked the way I came back. And you know, when you get hired as a bad guy, you can get away with a lot more stuff.
Yes, you know, I heard that from a lot of actors that have been on the show.
Yeah.
They actually do like playing the bad guy so much more.
Exactly.
Than the good guy. But what do you miss most about General Hospital?
The cast, like I said, the people. Yeah, I really do. Because we had so much fun, and then I got to meet new cast members that I never got to work with, like Minai and Kent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're amazing. And whenever there's events, we have the most amazing time. And they're just great people. I never, you know, Jason Gearhart, another incredible guy, great actor, Brandon. Just really, really cool people. And so luckily I got to meet them off the show.
Right.
You know.
And you still go to the General Hospital Fan Club weekend. You still have your little
absolutely.
Events and stuff, right? So that's cool.
Oh, I would never stop doing that because GH fans are the best. They really are.
No, and I have to admit that from doing this show and dealing with all three ABC soaps, I have to say that GH fans seem to me to be the most loyal fans. I really do believe that. You guys, they come out from the woodwork when they hear somebody from General Hospital is going to be somewhere. It's just amazing compared to the other soaps.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And they also, I can tell by whenever I do a comedy show or even Freak, I mean, I had these two amazing, amazing people who came twice in a row. And, you know, it's amazing. Yeah, the level of commitment is it's wonderful. And it's, I mean, it is true that I would not be, you know, anywhere if it wasn't for fans, because if people don't watch and support you, then, you know, who's going to...
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So, I will always, you know, no matter what, I'm going to keep the fan club, I'm going to keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I owe a lot to
Yeah, well, you still have such a huge following from being on General Hospital. Tell me, what has been the craziest soap fan encounter that you've had with a fan, good or bad, or both?
I had a really fun one. I was at Kinko's getting copies for something, and I was wearing a hat, and I had at the time I had a long beard for the movie that I was doing. And this lady who's in line with me, she looks at me and she goes, "Hi." And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And then I turn around and then she kind of taps me on the shoulder and I go, "Yeah." And she says, she takes a beat and then from the bottom of her soul, she goes, "Why did you kill George, you son of a bitch?" The entire place turned around, and mind you, I have a hat on and a beard, so I'm not looking very,
incredible.
I look like a criminal, and I'm turning around, I'm going to people, no, it's a show, and people are still looking at me, and I look straight at the security guard, too, I'm like, no, it's a show, she's I promise you, I'm not a killer. I'm like, shut the hell up, lady. And then she's like, why? Why did you kill her? And I was like, because it was written. What do you want me to do? So that was fun.
Oh, my gosh. That, I can only imagine. Oh, my gosh. Somebody looking like, you're standing there looking like ZZ Top something. And
right. I did not look my best or cleanest. So... and you know how people can freak out here, especially
yeah.
in LA. I mean, people here freak out for everything. I mean, someone farts and they start boarding up their houses.
And what was your best fan encounter, would you say?
The best is there's a girl named Alexandra who suffers from MS and.
Mm-hmm.
She's wonderful because when I met her the first time in Chicago with Wally, we were out there with his band. I met her and I was just blown away by her just appreciation for life and her commitment to raising money for the foundation. She makes her own bracelets and sells them. And I think at the time when I met her, I think she was like maybe 14, and she took it upon herself to do these bracelets and made so much money. And I just, when I meet kids that are like that and at any event, I just, it just put, it keeps reminding me of like what it really is important, because you look at these kids and then I think of everything else. I'm like, nothing else matters. Oh, your car breaks down. Who cares? My girlfriend breaks up with me. It doesn't. Like nothing really matters because.
Right.
So it was really. It was amazing to meet her, and I kept in touch via email. Every once in a while, she writes to me, telling me about. it was funny because one time she told me about. This guy that took her to prom, and I think like he was just a really boring date, and so she, and it's great because whenever I get an email, that means that, she's doing well. So
that's good. That's really freaking cute. I like that. That's really sweet of you. It's little things like that that tug at your heartstrings that really make you realize, and then when you see something like that, especially somebody so young. You have to realize, too, that it's not just affecting, their disease is not just affecting them. It surrounds, like, so many people. And for her to stay so positive, that's just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No. And like I said, you just, you're talking with her or other kids, and you honestly, like, for those 5 seconds or 5 minutes that you talk to them, everything around you just does not matter.
It's the same with adults, and it teaches the kids to some kids today can be so damn spoiled that you just want to shake the shit out of them. I mean, and mine were like that included until I have a 16-year-old, but at the time he was 12, I was diagnosed with cancer. And he had to be like, oh, everything had to be put in check,
yeah.
You know, because we didn't know what was going to happen. It was 4 years of long hell and BS until we got to where we are today. But they learn, you know, it's the little things that matter. Forget about all that materialistic bullshit. This is what really matters. So, yeah, appreciation of life. You just impressed me with everything that you're saying, so I'm just, like, falling in love with you by the minute here. But I have many people on the phone that want to talk to you. So you ready to take some callers? Where'd he go? He's gone. Where'd he go? Hang on, everybody. I lost him. He'll be calling back. I think his cell phone just cracked up a minute. So, but let me... Hey, buddy Tony.
Hey, Joanne.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm late calling in.
That's okay. I just lost him. I don't know what happened. His cell phone must have died or something.
I was listening to the show, and I was hearing what he was saying about all those little stories, this heartwarming story he had about that little girl that he talked about
with
MS.
Tony, let me bring him back on. Hold on. Hi, Don.
Was that boring you?
No. I said, oh, my God, his cell phone must have died. You know how many times that happened? I had Jason Gearhart on the show. That happened to him at least 6 times during the show. There was quite a few people that happened to. I feel like I'm boring you. Holy cow.
Well, you know what with phones now, I mean, there's commercials for phones that have lawnmowers, microwaves included, but then there's no phone.
That's right. So Nacho, I brought on a guest, Tony from Chicago. So Tony, say hi to Nacho.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, Tony, what's going on, man?
I'm doing good. Not too much. Just hanging out in Chicago. A beautiful night.
I love Chicago. Let me just tell you right now. I love Chicago. It's one of my favorite cities in the world.
Well, that's cool. That's great to hear.
Love it.
Yeah. Hey, listen. I know I was going to ask you about General Gospel, because probably there's a lot of people be asking about this. So I want to touch on the episodes that the appearance you made on Ghost Whisperer back in 2007 with Jennifer Love Hewitt. Was it the first time you worked with her on screen?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
How was it?
Yes. Oh, it was. You know what? The minute I walked on set, she asked me, "What did she ask? Oh, she, what's your birthday?" And I said, "April 19th." And then I told her, I said, "You know, it's really interesting that you asked me that, because I actually ask people that when I meet them, because for some reason I love birthdays." I love making connection to the birthdays. And she's like, oh, really? She's like, yeah. She's like, but, and then I said, yeah, but I don't like boring months like, you know, like January or February. She's like, oh, because my birthday is in February. And I went, oh. So that was an interesting first impression. but she's, she is unbelievable. She's just, she's so sweet and humble and, she, you know, she'll do anything to get the scene right, and she knows what she's doing. I think she's been around so long and treats everyone very, very kindly. So great experience every single time. Hopefully I'll get to work with her again. So
That's great. That's great. You mentioned April 19th, the birthday, because that was my dad's birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was my dad, but unfortunately he's been passed on since then. But that's when he was born.
Well, I'm sure he was a very handsome man.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
My birthday is December 5th. What does that make me?
I don't know. Capricorn? I don't know.
Oh, you wise guy, you.
Yeah, it is a Capricorn. And we're both Aries,
No. I'm a Sagittarius. I'm a Sagittarius.
My bad.
I'm Sagittarius. I'm December 5th. My son is December 1st, and my other son is Halloween, which makes him the spawn of evil. So.
Oh, that's very nice.
Well, it's
hey, you know what? Maybe one day he can, you know, run for government or something.
Never know.
Mine's April 3rd.
All right, Aries.
All right.
Tony, hang on. I'm going to bring on another caller. Matt,
yeah, you go, dude. I'll stay on listen.
Okay. This next caller is Maggie. Maggie, say hi to Nacho.
Hi.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
Okay. I love you on Denver Hadbo. I miss you. I miss the bad guy.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice that you miss the bad guy. That's very nice of you.
You told a sweetheart.
Oh, thank you so much, Maggie. I appreciate that.
My birthday in Bubba Rabbi.
Perfect. So now I have a good connection to February.
Hey.
There we go.
Okay. I need to deep. My mama kill me. It's done days. I both be done deep. My mama kill me.
All right.
Bye.
You better go, Maggie. See you later.
Maggie, take care of yourself.
Bye, Maggie.
Bye.
She's so damn cute, I swear. Very big soap fan. All right, let's go over here to Texas. Area code 281. You're on the phone with Nacho.
Hi. My name is Veronica. We're from Houston, Texas. How are you guys doing? Hi, Nacho.
Hey, how you doing, Texas?
Yeah. Hi, Joanne. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Veronica. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. I'm listening to the show. I'm so glad, Nacho, that I get to talk to you. You're one of my favorite actors. I miss you as Diego Alcazar on General Hospital. I'm so glad that they brought you back as the Tex-Mex Killer. You did a wonderful job on General Hospital.
Thank you. And you know what? I don't even use text message, so it was definitely a challenge.
And that you just—I just loved the scenes that you did, and the scene that you were taking Elizabeth on the bridge part. Were you nervous? Because I know you must have been nervous doing those scenes. Were you?
You know what? Like, I had never worked with Becky before. Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing, and I was nervous with those scenes because they were very physical. And, you know, I've done scenes before, like in theater, where mm-hmm. very scenes, either rape scenes or just very physical scenes. And I was just nervous because if you have an actor that doesn't know how to, you know, push it, but not go over the top and not hurt each other, then it's mm-hmm. tough. But she did such an amazing job, and it made it so easier for me because, I would. Am I hurting you? She's like, no, don't worry about it. I'll control your hands. That way you don't hurt. So, you know, it was great. She made it easy, and we had a really good time doing it. Exhausting, but we both got a lot out of it because I had never, on GH, I had never done scenes like that. So it was really great to do something like that.
You did a wonderful job. I miss you as Diego, and I saw you in Ghost Whisperer. You did a wonderful job in House in Lincoln Heights. And you're one of my favorite actors. You're just so talented. I'm actually going to be studying theater with an acting coach in the next couple of days, and I'm really nervous. So what is the best advice for me of preparing myself?
It's what I tell everyone here is that just really study a lot and read plays and read about everything and try to learn everything there is to know. When I was in college, in my freshman year, I did everything. I would volunteer to do lighting for a show, sound, set design, do everything. Because I think if you really want to be a complete actor, you need to know every single aspect to be prepared. Because when you step on set, if you're ready, you know where to stand. You know, for example, if you're in theater, you're going to know which way to your face has to be facing, so the whole audience sees you and how to project your voice. So basically, just study everything there is to know about it. Study about directing. Just read and read and read, and not only theater, but read about other stuff, other cultures, other. Because if you want to be a complete actor, you need to be, it sounds cheesy, a complete person. And the more you know, the more knowledge you have, the more skills you have, uh-huh. It's going to make you a complete actor. And that shows on screen. It really comes across on screen.
Wow. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to what you're doing next. And you're just so talented. And I'm so glad I got to talk to you guys.
Thank you. Good luck with that, okay?
Thank you so much.
Bye, Veronica.
Bye.
Okay, Veronica.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she's so cute. I had actress, Tony, you know, Marsha Mason on the other day, and she called in, and she's just a really sweet girl. She calls in to get acting advice from everybody. She's just really headstrong about it, and I wish her all the best, and hopefully one day she'll be a guest on Stardust Radio.
Okay,
so best of luck to you, sweetheart.
Yeah,
absolutely.
To succeed, just perseverance and you know, really just keep going. Don't give, you know, you get a lot of rejection in this business, but it just makes you stronger. So.
Right, and you know, I can't remember who said it to me, but they said that if you're getting into acting to make money, then you don't belong there. You really need to do it because it's your passion. So if you're going in for it to make bucks, you might as well hang it up now, because then it's never going to work for you.
Yeah, and I mean, if you notice, usually the people who prevail are the ones who love it and who are in it for the right reasons, for the love of it, you know.
Yeah, you have to. It's so funny. My 7-year-old said to me not too long ago, he was watching like an episode of Hannah Montana or something, and he was like, why can't I be famous? And I said, well, if you want me to sign you up for acting classes, I said, we'll go do it. He said, does that mean that I got to talk to people? I said, yeah. He's like, well, I'd rather just be famous, so I don't really want to talk to no one. I was like, okay. Well, I guess you're not going to be an actor.
Or he could try getting pregnant. That always works.
You know, I mean, a 7-year-old pregnant boy. Holy cow.
You know, I tried just to get my face on a magazine. Didn't work.
Could you believe
it? I don't look good in overalls. That's the truth.
Stupid ass story. Oh my God. Let's not even get into that one. All right, let's see who else do I got over here. Unknown area code. This is a dangerous one. Who am I speaking with? Hello?
You're on
Hi,
hello.
You're on the phone.
Hello?
Come on. Yes, you're on the air.
I'm sorry. Hi, my name is Lisa. Natasha, I've met you a couple of times before, and I just want to say that I'm just a big supporter of yours. And are you still going to be filming the movie in Mexico?
You know, we're still waiting to hear from that. They're getting all the pre-production ready, and hopefully we'll hear from that soon. And I would love to. It's an amazing story, and I would love to go to Mexico and. Go back to Mexico and shoot there. So.
And what else do you have coming up next? Will you be back on Ghost Whisperer this year, or?
You know, I don't know, to be honest. I think they're exploring new ideas on the show. There's nothing set in stone. I just, you know, I don't take any chances. So I come up with my own projects and plan my own things, and then. You know, it's always better to cancel something than having to rely on one thing and waiting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And my last thing is, if they do the General Hospital events in New York again, will you be back this year? Because we need you back in New York. You are just the funniest thing in person.
Oh, I would love to. I mean, if they, you know, if they invited me or if there was any way I could go out to New York and do whatever, I would absolutely love to. I mean, I had a great time the time I went with Sebastian, so absolutely. I mean, trust me, it's not up to me. I would get on a plane right now and go do whatever because I just keep around people that support, so.
All right, thank you very much. And again, I just want to say that your personality is amazing. And again, you are like the funniest human being on the planet. And thank you for being you.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate that.
And you take care of yourself. Bye.
Bye.
You too. Take care.
All right, take care.
So, Nacho, tell me a little bit about give me a story, a behind-the-scenes story of something crazy that happened at one of your events. Is there anything you could tell me?
About
Dish a little bit with me about some kind of behind-the-scenes story, some kind of funny story that may have happened at an event or on the set of GH.
At an event or... You know, most of my, like... These stories are just from my real life. There's never been anything crazy on this, really. At fan events, the only thing I could think of is the first time I did Fun in the Sun in Miami. I got stung by jellyfish the morning of the event, and nobody knew about it. But I was in so much pain.
Well, you know what? Can I tell you about that Fun in the Sun event? I was there.
Oh, you're kidding.
I was there. That was the very first soap event that I ever went to. You were actually sitting next to me on the sand while Kamar was doing his little
Oh my gosh.
You were sitting right next to me.
Wow, see, everything comes back around.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, I miss those days.
Such a good time. I got to go to Orlando. I would have loved to do that because I didn't. So.
Now, do you have a fan club per se? Do you still have a fan club? I mean, like, I was looking for a website for you, and I couldn't find any official website. Do you have one?
I don't have a personal. The truth is I haven't had to work on it. I didn't want someone else to do it. I want to do it myself because I want to personalize it and make it more fun.
Right.
But there's a lady named Debbie O'Connor who
right.
runs the fan club. But I don't have a website yet. And now that I finished with my one man show, I'm gonna work on it.
Oh, okay. So that's good. So Debbie O'Connor's in charge of your fan club.
Yes.
All right. So then I'll put that down too. Okay. Now, I heard that, and I might be stepping over the line here a little bit, but I heard there was some lap dances at your fan club event.
Who told you that? How is that? You know what? Here's a secret of mine. I do lap dances for charity. That's just one of my many gifts.
Okay. Well, I can't see a better way of donating money to charity.
You know, and I like dancing. What do you want to say? It was hot that day. So if you add music and being hot and then somebody put a boa on my head, you're gonna get a lap. That's just how it works. And if we can, you know, if we can raise money for charity, hey, that's all that matters.
You know what? That's absolutely true. I'm actually in talks with some people to plan a charity event for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society
I'm going to
so,
try.
Are you trying to hire me as a stripper? I
may just have to do that. I'm looking to hopefully do one possibly in March or April, and now that I know that you have that talent, I just might be calling you.
I got to tell you, though, I haven't worked as a professional stripper since I was like 9, so I may have to like freshen up the skills, but you know, I'm sure I can pull it. I just don't
want
to throw it in the middle of the show, you know.
Get into some practice there. So now you still have a band?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about your band.
We play just a lot of classic rock and roll. As a kid when I was in Argentina, most of the music that I listened to, I had a fascination as a kid with America and everything that came from America, because I thought I was never going to get to come. So I watched a lot of American movies. I mean, I learned English watching Willow, The Goonies, and and my favorite movie of all time, Rocky.
Uh-huh.
And I also listened to classic rock. I was obsessed with it. I mean, I wore the denim jeans all cut up, and the jacket, and the torn AC/DC shirt, and I had an earring and the long hair. And I just listened to AC/DC and Springsteen and Van Halen and Zeppelin. And then, you know, as a kid, like, I always wanted to, I thought I would be good as a rock star. So, again, when I came to the country, I was like, see, this is a place where I can do that. And I met these four guys who, basically two of them, their kids were swimming with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we just met, and one said, I play the guitar. Oh, I'm a drummer. Oh, well, I think I could sing. And we just said, let's get together and start jamming. And we did, like, 4 years ago. And then we said, well, I think we could do something with this. And we became an official band, and we have, like, over 60 covers. And, you know, we do a lot of shows locally as well, but we also do a lot of charity. I like to do, you know, whenever I plan an event. We went to Detroit in April and had an absolute blast for Evening with the Stars.
Okay.
And so, you know, and I just, it was just another little dream that I had as a kid, and finally I was able to make it happen.
That's fabulous.
It's fun.
Who's your favorite classic rock?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. I love a lot of them, and I like a lot of them, and, you know, again, like I said, AC/DC, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
Springsteen, huge fan. CCR, I love CCR. Alice Cooper.
Ramones.
We definitely covered Ramones, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie they were in.
I love all kinds of music, so.
Did you ever see that movie they were in, Rock and Roll High School?
No. So many people have told me about it, and I never saw it.
Oh, it's really good. You should try and find that. It was a good classic movie from back then.
Yeah. No, but any like the old really good classic rock and roll, I like it all.
That's funny. My brother-in-law, he's really into that, and I've been helping them pack up, like, CDs, and he had over 200 vinyl albums of nothing but classic rock. And he's like, oh, Joanne, I just want to get rid of this shit, you know, just, taking up dust and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, why don't we put it on Craigslist then and see what you could get for it? He's like, you know what, just throw it on there for $20 and we'll see what happens. So I didn't personally look inside the albums to see what he had. I figured he knew what he had. I figured it was a lot of scratched up garbage. Well, I put it on Craigslist for $50. This guy came this very same day, and he started inspecting all the albums. They were all in mint condition with no scratches, and he could have made so much money off of them.
Oh,
so
wow.
Much money. Oh, yeah, he was kicking himself for that one.
Well, I have all that, but I have it all in 8-track, because that was
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, okay, well, now, let's see. Any, you don't have a MySpace page. I want to clear that up because a lot of people think you do.
No, I do not.
No, see that? Ignacio does not have a MySpace page, so whoever's been emailing you are liars.
Oh.
People go around, you know, saying that, you know, they put in very tiny print, Fansite, and a lot of people do think that it's actually you. So I try and clarify that with everybody that comes on to make sure everybody knows that if you do have an official MySpace, then you say you do. If you don't, you don't. And this way they can just stop, you know, hoping for those
responses. Yeah, because I don't want them to waste their time. Yeah, no, I don't have that. I don't.
Okay, and no Facebook, right?
Very. I'm not very technological.
So before, you're not the jackal, right?
No, I can't be in a computer for longer than 5 minutes or I go
so
stupid.
So who on the show of General Hospital do you still keep in contact with?
Ted King, absolutely. He came to see my show Saturday night and that was
wonderful.
Ted is I adore him. Sebastian Roche.
Okay.
I see him a lot. He lives nearby so we hang out with Kimberly McCullough. I'm going to see her tonight. We're hanging out with some friends.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian
okay.
Alvarado. He's like the older brother I never had. He's a new dad, so he has an amazing.
Yes, I heard that.
Kid.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful kid.
Wonderful. Well, you can tell Ted King, since he's such a buddy of yours, I've been trying to get in touch with him. He needs to call me.
Oh, well, I think he may have been busy getting his wedding ready.
He was getting married.
Yes, he is.
See, I didn't know that. Okay. No, well, this was about 6 months ago, but no, I had no idea about that. No, didn't know about
that. I'll tell
him
when I see him. I'll give him a hard time when I see him. I give him a hard time every time I see him anyway, so it doesn't...
Tell him he's a highly requested guest on Stardish, and we want him. Everybody asks for him. But anyway, so we're down to 2 minutes, and I can't tell you that I'm so happy that you called in, and I can't wait to see what else is coming. I let me know about your sitcom if it comes to fruition, and I'd love to promote it for you and do all that stuff, you know? I mean... Anytime you need to promote something, just give me a call and we'll get it on the air.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Absolutely. Now that we're in contact, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. You have everything. I have everything. So, Ignacio, before I let you go, can I ask you to do a little promo for the show? Say however you want to say your name and on Stardish Radio or something like that. Make it fun. Make it your own. You could be goofy or however. There's no protocol.
Me, Goofy? Who have you been talking to? Okay, you got it.
Okay, go ahead whenever you're ready.
I got to do an English version, a Spanish version, because, you know,
Do both of them.
All right. This is Ignacio Sorricio on Stardish Radio. Stay tuned. And now we got to do the Spanish version.
Okay.
Wait, how do you say it in Spanish? Okay, gotcha. I'm just kidding. Para toda mi gente latina, hispana, esto es Stardish Radio. Acá Ignacio Sorricio, les mando un abrazo. Cuídense, que Dios lo bendiga. Chao.
Okay, well, wait a minute. You got to do one more now. Do one in Italian.
Oh, my Lord.
Come on now. Put them to use. Do one more in Italian.
Io sono Ignacio Sorricio, se Stardish Radio.
All right. Ignacio, thank you so much
for
being
here. Now I'll do it in sign language.
Thank you so much for being on Stardish, and let me know what's going on with you so I can get you back on the air and start promoting for you.
It was my pleasure.
Okay, Ignacio, have a great night. Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming by, man.
You guys. You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Tony, 42 seconds. So we got Wednesday, Forbes March will be on.
yeah.
And Friday, Kumar de los Reyes.
Another woman going to be swimming for these two.
I'm telling you.
They better call.
Absolutely. All right, Tony, have a good night, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
On Wednesday night. All right, everybody
have
a great night, too.
Bye-bye. Hey, everybody listening, don't forget to go rate the shows. Nobody's rating the shows.
Absolutely.
My producers are watching. There's a lot of zeros on there. Rate
Let's
those shows. All right, guys, have a good night.
Take care. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Bradford Anderson, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Thompson, and you are listening to Stardish Radio. Keep listening.